Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this fourth Sunday of Lent. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. John. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
It's time to register early for Deer Creek Camp. The Office of Youth Ministry of the Diocese of Corpus Christi invites 7 to 17-year-olds to Deer Creek Camp, July 16 through 21st. It'll be a week of archery, kayaking, canoeing, water slides, a faith walk, ski obstacles, water towers, arts and crafts, fishing, and so much more. The camp is in the hill country along the banks of the Medina River. Individual time, air-conditioned cabin time, great food, holy mass, adoration, and reconciliation are offered throughout the week. The registration deadline is June 1st or until camp maximum of 90 is reached. For complete information, call Heath Garcia at the Diocesan Office of Youth Ministry, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/Deer Creek Camp.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara, and how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And greetings to everyone out there on this fourth Sunday of Lent. We begin the fourth week of Lent now.
Yes, we're getting closer to Easter.
It goes fast.
Yes, it does. At first it seems like it's going at a crawl,
right,
and then it speeds up.
Right, especially when you've cut your food intake in half or whatever else anybody out there is doing. So, you know,
That's right.
But it moves fastly.
Fast.
It moves fast.
It does move fast. Well, we have, a wonderful gospel this morning. It's from St. John. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
It's a rather long gospel, and this is, just to kind of orient us a little bit, this is year A in our readings. You know, we have a three cycle of the readings, and these three readings for A cycle, last week was the Samaritan woman, this week is the man born blind, and they're really meant for those who are in the RCIA, who are now the elect. We had the elect, the rite for the elect a couple weeks ago. So this is now a consideration of an aspect of the Christian life that the elect are now entering into as they're preparing for baptism, and that is their relationship with Jesus. And so I won't say any more than that, so we'll read the majority of the gospel. We'll cut it back a little bit because it is quite lengthy, but it is a beautiful, powerful moment in the life of Jesus and now for the church. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see. And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. And he said to them, "He put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." A second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, but you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to them. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that he had been thrown out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." And he said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is a beautiful gospel, Bishop, and as we listen to it and start to talk about it, it seemed like the blind man was not only without vision physically, but he was also spiritually blind.
Well, I think I think you could say it about both sides of the party of mm-hmm. the discussion here, because neither one really recognized the work of God that was going on. So one was the physical blindness with the man born blind, but also the scribes and the Pharisees that were challenging all of this, we could say certainly were also blind in the sense that they could only see what was right in front of them. There's a famous line from Scripture in the book of Hebrews, which says that faith is believing in what is hoped for. So many of us hope for various things, and certainly at the time of Jesus, there was a great hope for the Messiah. And I think the major point here, and it's the major point for the baptized, and especially those who are preparing to be baptized in a couple of weeks at Easter, is that we need faith, really, to see the work of God, to understand the work of God, to accept the work of God. And this man that was born blind through his encounter with Jesus, and that is certainly part of this message with these three Sundays called the Scrutinies, is this encounter with Jesus, because only he can open our eyes. We remember in the Gospel of John, "Without me you can do nothing." So the whole dimension of faith is really placing our faith in someone. And in this case, with the man born blind, he couldn't see physically, as you mentioned, but there was also a need for that internal step of an interior life, a spiritual life, to also recognize the work of God that was all around him, and it took an encounter with Jesus to come to that.
And in the very beginning of that, the question was asked of Jesus, "What did this man do in order to be born without sight?"
Well, and that's where, and that's where the whole story really gets tied up, mm-hmm. Where faith can be hindered in anyone when we kind of get attached to the mentality of the time. So the mentality here was, if someone is born blind or if someone has any kind of a physical or mental defect, mm-hmm. that somebody did something wrong,
right.
you know. And unfortunately, as you say, this continues today in some people's lives. But if that is present in our lives on any level, when we're asking, what did I do wrong? What did somebody do wrong to make this happen? I would say, look at the level of your faith. Because Jesus's answer to that was, no one did anything wrong. It was so that the glory of God could be revealed. So that God uses many times our defects, in whatever way they are. I mean, I have defects, mental defects, spiritual defects, whatever you want to call them. We all have something. Mm-hmm. But it's not because someone did something or I did something. It's so that we can go deeper inside of ourselves and find out who we really are and upon whom we need to rely, and that is upon faith in God, faith in Jesus, faith in the Holy Spirit, that that God can come to our rescue, that God can give us more life, more light, more love than we think that we had before we did something wrong or whatever it is. So that whole question is really put to rest with Jesus. What he's asking for here, and I think this Lenten journey that we're on in these 3 weeks of beautiful readings where Jesus is calling us to himself, as he did the Samaritan woman, I don't want to anticipate next week, but calling the Samaritan woman to a deeper faith. She was stuck in the fact that she had five husbands. And so because she thought that that's just what was dealt her, that's the way she was living, and she was going to accept the way it was. It is what it is, as people say, and that is such a cop-out for so mm-hmm. many things. It is what it is, but with Jesus, it doesn't have to be what it is. Mm-hmm. It can be more. And that's what this man said. That's what he gave this man. It was not just his blindness. It is what it is. It's because he encountered Jesus that it became more than what he ever expected.
And of course, then after Jesus gave him his physical sight, the people around him were wondering, what happened? How did you regain your sight? And who right. was that? And so he was really trying to explain to them what happened. And here were some non-believers, and he was trying to help them through that.
Well, what I always find very interesting, he didn't really know what happened. Mm-hmm. He just said, I met this man. He put this spittle on my eyes, this mud, and I can see. I don't know. He didn't really question the mechanics of it. You know, this is part of our world today. We want to know how it happened. You know, was there a chemical in the dirt upon which Jesus put the spittle? And was it the chemical that did it? So we want to analyze it to death. That's not faith. Mm-hmm. Faith doesn't analyze everything. I mean, certainly faith and reason work together. There could be a reason that things are made better in our lives. And certainly working with the medical community and working with doctors, there's obviously things that help us, but it's not always there's not always a logical, scientific answer to everything. Faith is about what we cannot see but hope for.
Exactly. All right, Bishop, we are going to take a short break, so please stay with us and we will be right back.
If you or someone you know is suffering from the pain and loneliness of divorce or the death or separation of a spouse, you can get help for yourself or them. A grief support group meets each Monday at 7 p.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church Parish Hall on South Alameda. The group is facilitated by people who've been through it and want to help others who are going through it. You can learn to cope with your loss by sharing your experiences and at the same time offering others hope and consolation. There are people who care and want to help. The group is sponsored by the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Family Life. For more details, call John 813-5825. You don't have to go through this alone. The next support group meeting is January 9th. Call 813-5825 for more information.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, we're continuing our discussion on this beautiful gospel about the blind man who regained his sight. Jesus helped him, did a miracle, and he regained his sight. But in the second part of the gospel, the people had called the man who'd been blind, and they're trying to find out how this happened. And they say, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." And the man replies, "If he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." And they say, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" I mean, they're just questioning him over and over, and he doesn't know.
Well, nor is he willing to repeat
the
answer. He already gave him the answer. It's no sense, you know, just repeating and repeating. He said, he made clay, and he anointed my eyes, and he told me, go wash in Siloam. I went, and now I can see. Mm-hmm. So that's, as I say, that's the story, and I'm sticking to it. If you want to analyze it and say, well, he's a sinner, that's your choice to do that. But in other words, that's not my experience. I think I'll take a risk here in saying that in many ways, the blind man is a mystic because, and this is what we need today, mm-hmm. because he was able to read into a situation the work of God. Mm-hmm. He didn't accuse Jesus of being a sinner. He didn't, you know, he was able just to see that I had a need and it was answered and it happened through this man, this person. So it really becomes then from this point on a real exchange between the man born blind and these Pharisees that are challenging all this. So I think in many ways, the experience of the man was what convinced him. You know, if it was just out of some kind of a book, a theological book, or you know, if you do this and this and this, say this prayer and this prayer and this prayer, all this will happen, mm-hmm. as if it's some kind of magic. And we have to get away from that. There's no magic involved in this. What we have here is a meeting of Jesus, the Son of God, and a man who had needs in his blindness. Sometimes we can do all the formulas that my grandmother told me about and, you know, goes on and on in our faith life, but we never encounter the person. And if there's anything that is present today that is for the renewal of our faith and Christianity, is that we have to meet the person of Jesus. You know, not to surround it with so many layers of different things that we miss the person of Jesus. When was the last time any of us just sat down in a quiet room and just spoke the word Jesus as if he's my friend sitting right next to me? Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of encounters are very important to us because that alone can resolve many things in our lives. I was just recently, I was at somebody asked me to come and bless their place of work, and I just said to the people, you know, on a bad day, in a bad moment, when you're at work and you just have a bad situation, somebody got cross with you in the same office, or you had something you had to do that was not going right, just take a deep breath, sit down, and just say, Jesus, you know, give me wisdom, calm me down, talk to him. That's what happened with the man born blind. That's what happened to the Samaritan woman. Jesus sat down and spoke with them. Now, given that he was on this earth at that point, so it was obviously a personal encounter, but because he said, I am with you always until the end of time, I give you the Holy Spirit who will remind you of all things. So for us, it's in the Holy Spirit, it's in the Spirit of Jesus that we can speak to him and know that he's right there. He's risen from the dead. That's what we're preparing to celebrate. He's not dead. He's alive. He's sitting right next to me. He's right here and right now in this studio. He's right here with us.
He's our
friend.
All
we have to do, and he's our friend. All we have to do is ask. That's what this man is really testifying to. I don't know how this happened, but I did meet the man that made it happen, and he reached out to me. It's, I think, another just, we didn't read this section of that gospel, but I do encourage people to go back and look at the 9th chapter of St. John's Gospel, which is where this is taken from today, chapter 9. But they even went so far as to pull his parents in and say, you know, they were so dead set on finding out not so much how this happened, but who this person is, because mm-hmm. they had heard about him and they certainly wanted to discredit him in any way they could. So they went through the parents, and I love it because they just say, I don't know, talk to my son. You know,
it's he's like, of age.
He's of age. Let him answer your questions. But they went to all these links to do that. But another funny part of this, an interesting part, is that after the man said, I'm not going to repeat my story. I told you what he did. But it's almost as if with all these questions, with all this inquiry that you are throwing at me and my parents, do you want to be one of his disciples? And this is the interesting part, is that the door at that point is closed. Meeting Jesus can be uncomfortable because it means I have to look at myself. I have to look at how I do things. What's my life about? There's a lot of questions that arise in any person. And for the elect that are preparing for baptism, for us who are baptized, these are questions that should be with us always. If we ignore Jesus, we're not going to ask the questions about life. When we meet him, and in him we meet his word, his gospel, and we start listening to some of those things, then we're going to have to ask ourselves some questions. So when he says, give and you will receive, mm-hmm. that's going to put some things into question in my life, mm-hmm. in all of our lives, and in everything. I mean, if you just read the Sermon on the Mount, all those things that Jesus says, you know, turn the other cheek. When's the last time you turned the other cheek? Or wrote that off as well. That's something that he said in his day. We don't do that today. Well, yes, we do. So whenever we have this encounter, so that's why this man born blind says, do you want to be his disciple too? But they probably knew with all that they had been watching and hearing him say that they didn't even want to go there because it would have meant they would have had to ask some deep questions, mm-hmm. and they weren't willing or ready to do that.
Well, and of course he says that after that, then of course Jesus approaches the blind man and Jesus starts asking him some questions about his beliefs.
Right.
Because then that's when I think, as I'm reading this and I'm understanding it, that's when the man really begins to understand or knows who Jesus really is.
Right. And that's, you know, but let me go back just a little bit before we go. That's a good point. Then they start accusing Jesus of being a sinner. And, you know, but the man says, again, very logically, this is where faith and reason comes in. Well, logically, if somebody has sinned or is a sinner, he can't do good works. But he's done good work, so he can't be a sinner. It's very logical. And the Pharisees miss that. So he kind of calls them to task again on that very test. They really want to be mm-hmm. a disciple. But mm-hmm. if he's doing good, he can't be a man who sins. He's done good. But then going back to your point, it's very interesting because then Jesus pulls the man aside and asks for his faith. He didn't want a stipend. He didn't want recognition. He didn't want to have an article written about him. He just said, do you believe in the Son of Man? So at this point, as he did with the Samaritan woman, it was a call to faith, a call to go beyond yourself, beyond logic, beyond reason, not to discount those. We have to be logical. We have to be reasonable in our reasoning process. We have to do the work. You know, it's not magic. We're not living magic here. But there is a point where you have to step over the line. And it's that it's faith that helps us step over the line into another realm of being, which is our life in God, our life in Jesus Christ. So the man responded to that question, do you believe in the Son of Man, by saying, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? He's ready for anything at this point. He's
right.
Born blind, he can't see, and all of a sudden he can see. And knowing that the Redeemer, the Messiah, is coming, who is he so that I can believe in him? And that's where Jesus very beautifully, very tenderly and gently reveals himself. You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he. standing right here in front of you. And then he says, I do believe, Lord, and then he worshiped him.
Mm-hmm. That's a wow moment.
That's a moment. Well, it's a wow moment, but it's like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I've searched. And I think for us, I think when I read this, I think you look to solve everything on your own. You know, you're trying to fix everything in your life and da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden, it's just a simple word from Jesus. It's a simple moment of prayer, and he's right in front of you. And I missed it, or I was in danger of missing it. I've always said that faith is a very noble pursuit. It's very simple, but it can be very difficult because the difficulty is getting beyond myself and entering into that realm of life that I'm not sure of, I'm not certain of. But that's where faith is a walking with. It's an accompaniment. So when a person enters a life of faith, and I would say to those that are preparing for baptism, you're not alone. It's not like I accept Jesus, I accept the church, and I'm on my own. No, you're not. None of us are. I'm not on my own. I need help. I need to talk to people. I need to reach out. I need to pray. I need to, you know, all these things. But when you think about it, you live in a community of faith, the church. When you live in communion with God through prayer, when you have that spiritual friend you can talk to about, we don't live alone. Faith life is not about being a superhero. It's about walking together. And Jesus invited this man born blind to walk with him. And it's in that walking with him that his eyes were really open, not just physically, but also spiritually. In a life of faith, his eyes were truly opened.
Thank you, Bishop. That was a beautiful explanation for a beautiful gospel. Well, if you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Sure. We always use the prayer of the day for the Mass for the fourth Sunday of Lent. Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebration to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless all of you.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.